So, family, what's going on? What's going on? I'm about to stop this screen share in a second. Trying to figure out all the damn all the things we got popping over here. So hold tight. I'm back. What's good, family? This is your brother, Professor Carl Tone Jones, and welcome to Office Hours. Tonight, you know, I said before I was going to show another preview of the show, and it just seems like there's a million and one people going live tonight. I mean, I'm on a on different timelines, I'm seeing a million and one people going live in different platforms. So, you know, that's cool though. We're still gonna do what we do here. And hopefully you'll be able to share the broadcast, go out there and, you know, because I like to think what we have here is a little unique in that we really speak to topics. And I know we go hard here on Office Hours in regards to the things that we're dealing with. And we're going to jump into some important topics tonight. Tonight's show, I'm not sure how long it's going to be, but we're going to definitely talk about, you know, some of the things that are going on at the border briefly, because I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on that. And then we're going to talk about, you know, the young brother Antoine Rose that got shot in the back in Pittsburgh. There was another young brother who was just recently killed in Florida. A rapper by the name of XXX Tenaction. You know, he was just recently murdered. And you know, I really don't, I'll be perfectly honest, until the brother was murdered, I never even heard of him. You know, apparently he was one of the top streaming artists coming up. You know, he was only 20 years old, which is sad. And then, you know, I saw a lot of the energy that was generated by that. Apparently, you know, he had some issues with, you know, his baby mother, you know what I'm saying? He's had some issues with the law. He spoke a lot of, you know, he spoke some wild stuff in his raps and his songs. So, you know, I'm just really, you know, I just want to talk about that briefly, you know, eventually in the show. And I also want to talk about the Black Power vacuum. You know what I'm saying? Because what we have right now is clearly evident. If anybody's been paying attention, you know, we've had, you know, right now we don't have an accumulation of Black power anywhere. You know what I'm saying? And whatever energy towards Black power that we have, the energy that we have to empower each other, we consistently use it to empower, you know, other causes. So, you know, I want to talk about that. You know, that's really what I want to get into, but I'm going to get into that a little later on. One of the things that's happening right now is there's this big issue at the border. And this issue has been going on. Bukusu, Brother Patrick, and Bukusu, Sister Angel Proctor, thank you so much for always being a loyal supporter of the Independence Day Project and myself and the things that we've been working on and building. Sister, you are truly appreciated. Some of the things that have been happening, you know, in regards to the recent politics, as you all know, that what they're doing now at the border, they're separating children, they're taking children, and they're removing them from their parents. And, you know, there's this big heightened cry across the world, you know, specifically here in America. And, you know, supposedly that America doesn't do these things. Well, this country was actually founded on the principle of separating parents from their children. You know, the whole institution of slavery spoke to that. You know what I'm saying? The whole institution of slavery speaks to that. So it's something that, you know, we can't keep allowing the myth of what America is to go and not challenge that mythical narrative. We have to consistently remind not just Americans, but Black Americans too, specifically Black people in America of this narrative. Because a lot of times I think Black people try to hide within the whole American, you know, this African-American or Afro-American, they try to hide within the American part of it, you know what I'm saying? And that's not gonna work for us because, you know, we consistently are trying to, you know, make ourselves homogeneous with this dominant culture and this dominant society. And what we're finding out time and time again is they don't want us to be a part of this society. There's no mixture in it, you know, for Black people. And we have to start understanding that you're African born. You have no privileges in this country. You have no access to wealth. You have no access to power. The power system that's been put in place power structure that's been put in place has been purposely put in place to maintain Black people as bottom feeders in the society. So if you try to grab within, you try to work within this particular 60, you know what I'm saying, this particular power structure, you are not going to proceed anywhere where you're not granted permission or access to. You know, you have no control over those things. And that's some of the things we have to start, you know, really addressing, family. We really need to start addressing this whole issue towards, you know, the power vacuum that this community, that we have allowed to take place. And you see, we have this issue where we want to cape for every other cause. We want to cape for every cause not our own. And when I say that, I'm not telling you not to pay attention to global events and world events. You need to pay attention to them, because eventually, we know when they finally drop the hammer, they're coming for African-born people. They're coming for people. They're coming for Black people. They're coming for us. All the things you see right now are basically, they're staging situations so that when they come for us, they perfected the method, and then they can just swoop down and attack us. We have to be more aware of these things and start putting our eggs in our own baskets. You know, when they had the whole thing, let's go back just the last 2 years, you know, with the Dakota Access Pipeline. You had Black people leaving their communities to go out to North Dakota to stand out there while in sub-zero weather, being fire hosed because they wanted to stand in solidarity with the natives. And it's cool. That's cool. Listen, I'm not mad about that. But you got to bring that same energy back home. You can't leave Chicago and go to North Dakota and say you're fighting the man, when in Chicago, the man has had his foot on your throat for God knows how long. You can't do that. You know what I'm saying? We have this thing, you know, we talk about DACA, you know what I'm saying, the dreamers and things of that nature, and the wall and this, that, and the other. You know, excuse me. We're talking about the wall, the you know, Trump building the wall. Black people out protesting that. I'm like, but what about the brick walls that have been put up in your community? What about the walls that you don't have access, the redlining that's been taking place in America? What about the Holocaust that Black people are dealing with? You know what I'm saying? What about those, that Holocaust that didn't go away? You know what I'm saying? We, you know, they just killed a young brother in Pittsburgh, Antoine Rose. They just shot this young brother in the back, you know, a few days ago. You know what I'm saying? They just shot this brother in the back, you know? A police officer who a temp police officer who was on duty for an hour. He was literally sworn in for an hour before he shot this young brother to death and shot him in the back three times. It's in West Pittsburgh. It's like a township outside of Pittsburgh, you know what I'm saying? Suburb of Pittsburgh, in Allegheny Township. I mean, Allegheny County. You know, this stuff is still happening, family. We still have people being gunned down, you know what I'm saying, by law enforcement, and you already see it. So where's your fight for that? Where is, and I'm not talking about protests and marches, that stuff. We got to become more technologically sound, and we have to become, you know, more equipped to handle the issues of today using methods that will work today. And the only method that we have that will work today, family, is to create an institution or institutions of Black empowerment that will eventually lead to independent Black communities. Those are the only things that we can build on and work with. You know what I'm saying? We have to consistently try to get to the methods and get to the core of all these problems. I mean, there's not an LGBTQ issue that Black men, or I mean, that the Black community doesn't run and cape to. But none of these other communities come and run and cape for Black people. And that is the biggest issue I have with all of this stuff right now. You can't be consistent. You can't consistently be cape crusaders for everybody else's causes, expending all of your energy and resources to go out there and save other people when your next door neighbor is starving. When people on your block that you know are suffering, children are going home. The summertime said now, children don't even have options to eat at school right now because summer's time, you know, in the Northeast, it's summer. In other parts of the country, it's summer vacation. So now children that only ate that one meal a day, possibly two meals if they got there in time for breakfast, Now they don't even have access to food for the summer. They have to figure out and scrap away and find a way. You know, but those things seem to go by the wayside. And that's one of the biggest problems that I have when I'm seeing, you know, us jumping into conclusions and jumping in with all these other causes, is the fact that we pretend that the causes that affect our community don't affect us. We pretend like we live in bubble wrap, that we're insulated, that we don't have any access. Like, the things that happen to your neighbor don't affect you. Sometimes the shit that happens in our own houses, we try to pretend like it doesn't affect us. But yet and still, when somebody somewhere, God knows where, has an issue or a problem, we turn, toss on the cape, and we become cape crusaders for every other cause and every other issue. And then when those same people come for us, let me tell you the slick shit the natives did. When black people were like, yo, we appreciate the fact that, you know, we're comrades. You thought you throwing that language around, we're comrades and all this other shit. And the natives, they said, so comrades, why don't y'all help us deal with the police brutality? Colin Kaepernick is taking a stand. Why don't y'all take a stand with us? You know the slick shit the Native Americans started doing? The Native Americans started putting together Facebook inbox messages talking about, if you think they're hurting you, then look at what they're doing to us with police brutality. And I'm like, whoa, how the fuck? It's like you lend somebody some money. You go to their house to pick up your money, and they hit you with a story as to why you should give them more money. They never paid you back, but they want you to be obligated to give them more money. That's the logic we're dealing with right now with all these other causes. Black people out there scrambling at the on the border right now, talking about how wrong it is for families to be, you know, be separated. Do you know in Philadelphia, we have 2,000 children that have been removed from black families in Philadelphia by the Department of Human Services? It's called DHS. Other places it's called Children's and Youth Services or Child Services, all those different, you know, alphabets, different type of alphabet, you know, synonyms or acronyms they give for all these other agencies. Don't you know, Philadelphia got 2,000 children missing from their families. They've been separated. What about all the people that have been separated from their people and their family? What about all those things? What about all the people that have been separated from, you know what I'm saying, their families? What about all of them? What about, you know what I'm saying? We there's a story I'm trying to get to. Give me 2 seconds. But, you know, what about the fact that we just had, here in Philadelphia, we just had a story. You know what I'm saying? I'm trying to look it up because I want to read it to you. I just want to read it to you. As a matter of fact, I'm going on my timeline and read it. I'm going on my Facebook timeline and read it. You know what I'm saying? Give me 2 seconds, y'all. I'm going to my Facebook timeline and read it, this story. Just real quick. You know what I mean? Give me 1 second, y'all. Because I shared it earlier today. Someone shit on my timeline. How the fuck I was shit on my timeline? Hold on. Hold up. Give me a minute, y'all. Y'all know we had a situation with the whole Move 9. So in 1978, you know, there was a confrontation between police officers in Philadelphia and MOVE. And the confrontation between the Philadelphia police, it led to 9 members of MOVE, the MOVE organization, you know, being arrested, right? Family separated. So here's Michael Africa, right? Michael Africa, this brother, you know, this is what he said today, all right? I just looked in the kitchen and saw my mom. That shit is amazing. A great thanks to all who helped make this happen. This young brother was separated from his mother since 1978. When he was born, she was in jail. His parents were in jail when he was born. But we're caping. You won't even have nobody talk about MOVE. But you want to talk about how inhumane it is to run to the fucking border? When people on your block is suffering, what kind of bullshit is that? What kind of bullshit is that? The people who look like you suffering the most. You know, there was a story recently about here in Philadelphia about schools. Schools are asking for more security because they don't want to deal with abusive parents that come into the schools. They're not talking about building relationships or building bridges with the parents that come into the schools. They're talking about we need more police, which is always our action when it comes to dealing with each other. Get more police. In Baltimore, they received, like several years ago, they received a bunch of money. They received a bunch of money to create a safer community for Baltimore. You know what they did? They beefed up the police force, who later used the artillery and used all those militarized gadgets to beat down a group of children coming home from school right across from the Madarvin Mall. You know, the whole Freddie Gray incident. So this is what we're talking about, family. We got to stop with this whole idea of thinking that we got to create, you know, we have to, you know, when it comes to our situation, it's out of our control. But when it comes to everybody else, you know, we can beat on our chest and become the Tarzans and save their goddamn villages. I'm not saying it's not important. I'm not even, because we are a humane people. So we do love and care everybody. And it's been to our own detriment. And to some point, we have to get to the point where we steel ourselves to start focusing inward. That's why we don't have black power, because our black power is dispersed to every other community. We can't even have, do you know how many people do I know that can't even afford to pay their fucking bills? Can't they have to choose between paying a bill or filling the refrigerator? That consider themselves to be activists, to be consider themselves to be, you know, about pushing this whole movement towards black empowerment, activism. And then we the nerve of some people in the community to say, nah, y'all, you know, go stack your paper up and then you can help everybody. This ain't about building a platform, man. This is a full-time job trying to rescue a community that doesn't want to be saved. This is a full-time, this is a double job. Because you see somebody drowning, you throw them a life preserver, and they're pushing it away, cussing you out while they're being taken under by the surf. But yet and still, we know it's a sickness they've incurred, so we still do it. But I'm going to be real, fam. You don't want me to get a full-time fucking job. Because if I got a full-time job and then dealing with my family's another full-time job, I'm not taking on 3 full-time jobs. Because half of you cats out there that get in trouble, that want help, you complain and say you can't get involved because you got 1 full-time job, for which you can't even put a decent, half-decent Facebook post up, or you can't even like nobody else's post. That might sound quasi-controversial, you know what I'm saying, because you're afraid of how it'll affect your job. Only to get in trouble at a Waffle House where the police are beating you half to death. Only to get in trouble at a Starbucks where the, you know what I mean, you're arrested for trying to use the damn bathroom. Only to be assaulted when you're driving in your car, minding your own business, smoking your weed, or doing whatever the fuck you're doing, to the point where, you know what I'm saying, you know, but the bottom line is you never invested in the full-time job that you want to come rescue you. You've never invested, don't even see a need to invest in the full-time job that you want to come rescue. Think about that for a second. You know what I'm saying? Do you fly? Because you keep talking shit about Al Sharpton, and I'm not a fan of Al Sharpton, but do you fly Al Sharpton then? When somebody's murdered in your family, do you come fly any of these activists in? Do you bring them in? Do you provide them room and shelter? Do you do all those other things? No, you just want somebody to meet you at the corner with the damn, you know, candles and the teddy bears and the cards and shit. And you want them to start speaking on your behalf. You want them to protest these businesses, this, that, and the other. See, that's the that being lie is the problem. You know, we all look and glorify and talk about all the black movements in the past and ain't studied none of them. Ain't studied none of them, haven't spoken to the elders that were in them that are still alive to this day, haven't even attempted to reach out to them to find out what the real stories are behind, you know, the history. You know, we don't know none of that shit. We're damn proud. We're proudly ignorant. And specifically this new generation, the so-called millennials, who don't research anything. Memes become facts, feelings become facts, and everything else be damned. You're doing everything for the first goddamn time. Nothing that you're trying today has ever been tried before. Laying down in the streets and protesting and having staged sit-ins and die-ins and all those different places. You know what I'm saying? And you can go back in history and see picket signs of people with the same 1950. You can see people with picket signs saying Black Lives Matter. In 1950. You know what I'm saying? But because nobody wants to do the research, the new generation does not want to be the research, do the research. You know what I'm saying? We're struggling with that. You know what I mean? And now this generation believes, I was told today that the millennials think that they're the smartest motherfuckers on the planet. Oh, you know what? You're not supposed to believe your own bullshit. Like when you create it, you're not supposed to believe it. You know what I mean? You're not supposed to create your own bullshit. Millennials, come on, man. You know what millennial generation really reminds me of? You're very talented. You know who else was talented? There was a porn star, right, back in the 80s, late in the early 80s, named Ron Jeremy. I don't know if anybody knows Ron Jeremy. Ron Jeremy was big shit in porn, right? You want to know what Ron Jeremy's most talented act? He was talented. Ron Jeremy got off because he can perform fellatio on himself. He can perform fellatio on himself. And that's what millennials are right now. You are performing and bragging about a goddamn blowjob. Bragging about getting some hair. You are performing fellatio on yourself and bragging to the world that you got some hair. That's what millennials are right now. You know what I'm saying? So let's get back to the gist of what we're talking about here tonight, y'all. The gist of what we're talking about here now is how do we get this Black power back into the community? How do we bring it back home? Because we got far too much Black power being dispersed everywhere except for home. And then they're coming for, we don't have nothing. And when I say that, I truly mean it. Now, you know, it's funny. Because we go back to this millennial thing being the smartest group of all time. You know, our ancestors, who, by the way, this is the week of Juneteenth. You can celebrate Juneteenth. I'm not a big celebrator of Juneteenth. I recognize Juneteenth, and I understand it for its significance, but I don't celebrate it because it's not Independence Day. And you can take and reshape and reform it however you want. Black people didn't sign any forms, any treaties to signify their freedom for Juneteenth. You know what I'm saying? Black people didn't sign nothing. Black people didn't even get their 40 acres and a mule. When you have independence, you get land, you have a declaration for your people, you get land, you get access to wealth and all those other things. You have borders put up. We didn't get none of that shit. That was just basically them saying, we're gonna take the chains off. We're gonna let the last faction know we're taking chains off. That's all Juneteenth was. It was a big day, but that's what it was. Let's get back to our ancestors, though, who did survive, you know, past Juneteenth. And, you know, contrary to popular belief, there were still Black slaves in this country up until the 1940s. So much for Juneteenth. Anyway, the reason why I bring that up is because from that particular age, from that particular time, so-called illiterate and uneducated Black people built up all throughout the South and the Midwest, independent Black towns, fully functional economic powerhouses all throughout the country, to the point where in the early 1900s, the, you know, white supremacists of the day, you know, Rockefellers, Carnegies, Mellon, and all those different think tanks, they had to figure out, what do we do with the Black problem? And the Black problem wasn't that Black people wasn't smart, because from 1850 to 1900, Black people developed literacy rates that were unrivaled in anywhere in the known world. So it wasn't that. It wasn't education. It was the fact that they realized they had let loose all their talent. So their answer to that was to build HBCUs, because they had to form and reshape the minds. And that was the whole W.E.B. Du Bois debate, you know, first with Booker T. Washington, then later on with damn it. I'm having a brain fart. Honorable Marcus Garvey, you know what I'm saying? That was the big debate, you know? But you don't know none of this shit unless you do research. But the bottom line is, part of the black problem that they talked about on paper was building those institutions and universities. What they talked about in secrecy, you know, started in 1877 with the Great Betrayal, when they decided to, you know, the swing election votes, they were going to remove Northern troops from the north to the from the southern post, protecting those upstart black communities that, when they were left alone, would just build economic powerhouses. They also funded and created white supremacy groups, white supremacist and white extremist groups like the Ku Klux Klan, the Red Shirts, and all these other white secret societies that were put together to terrorize and destroy black people. They also mounted a propaganda campaign, utilizing the newspapers, creating, once again, understanding that most of the white people couldn't read, so they were using political comics to make it seem as though that black men were a threat to white women. Black men were, you know, deviant. And so these are the things that, you know, these are the issues that we don't talk about all the time, family. These are the things we don't talk about all the time, but this history. And if you know the history, it will help you to understand that there's never been a successful alliance between black people, you know, trying to get in Africans, trying to get in Europeans. There's never been. There's always stipulations. There's always a line that the Europeans won't go with in terms of assisting black people. And I'm talking about a group wise. I'm not talking about like one here and one there. You know what I'm saying? And the lack of support from the black community to this point right now is mind-boggling. When you talk about building black empowerment, because that mindset still exists. That mindset that was put in place when they resurrected and dealt with the black problem, that mindset still in place. They convinced black people that being black wasn't the answer, that they had to, you know, be assimilated into white culture. And from that point forth, and Dr. Carter G. Woodson wrote about this in the early 1900s, and the shit is still relevant today, which means it worked. The programming work, where they not only did the programming work with them creating that mindset, but he also stated in The Miseducation of the Negro that if you allow it to continue, that the Negro himself will replicate the self-hatred of African people for generations to come. This is because he did the research. And what do we have, family? We have a vacuum of black power right now, because they've convinced us of that. So, you know, you talk about the black on black crime, but black on black crime, if we want to call it that, starts way earlier than violence in the streets. It starts way earlier than domestic violence. Black on black crime starts at the point of conception. When your energy goes into creating that black egg, that sperm and that egg, and it becomes one, you know, and from the moment of its conception, your energy within you, the energy surrounding, is all about hating black people, all about hating who you are, all about hating the concept of this black skin, the spirit of being black. It's all about hating all of that. So when that baby is born, you don't want that baby to have kinky hair. When that baby is born, you're looking at the earlobes to see how dark that baby is. And then from the time that baby's conceived, you want to make sure that that baby's hair is permed. You put baby oil in it, all types of shit. And from the moment that baby has an opportunity to see itself in the mirror, that baby is already grown with a concept, with the concept of itself that I don't like what I see. I don't like how I feel in this black skin, the energy all around me. I'm seeing my family argue all the time. Black people is all I'm around, and all the people that I'm around are fighting each other tooth and nail with vengeful hatred towards one another, because he passed it down through generation and generation and generation. So eventually that black baby gets old enough to start taking in, mingling and mixing into the world. And when that baby gets to school, chances are some Jewish white woman is the first figure of authority that this child meets. because white women make up 80% of public school teachers in America. They've carved out the whole fucking, that whole field, because they use that as their fallback for medical benefits for their family, extended vacation time, you know what I'm saying? Caring for your child is at the bottom of the list of priorities that they have when they get these jobs. So this child doesn't have any knowledge of self. Child's not going to get this knowledge of self from working within these institutions. That's not happening. And then the child is not coming home to black love. You have literally re-engineered black hatred in that child. So is it any wonder as to why, when those children get of age and they get to appeasing these, you know, white gods, because they see them as gods, the authority figures, they see them as gods. Don't misunderstand that. When they get to see those figures, and then they get to see how obedient adult black people are to these people, and they get to see all those things. Now you've created this monster that hates black people. So is it no surprise that that monster that hates black people, even though they start to become educated and informed about self, is it no surprise that the programming kicks back in at some point, to the point where they believe that they are not worthy of saving? So why should I give a fuck about somebody getting shot at the end of my block? That nigga deserved it. Why should I care about that girl that got choked out on the block? That bitch was a whore anyway. Why should I care about all those things? We raise them with words that just the most demeaning words possible, calling our boys little dumbass niggas like the dumbass father, dumbass dogs, and this, that, and the other. Girls are bitches and whores and this, that, and the other, to the point where people try to empower themselves by taking those words and using it to empower, and it just doesn't work. You cannot empower yourself with something that was wicked and intended to destroy you. Can't do it. Listen, you know, for the few people that's watching tonight, here's something. Try this. Next time you're around a bunch of children and you hear them calling each other niggas and bitches, ask them one simple question. Can you replace the words niggas and bitches with brothers and sisters and use it with the same energy that you did when you had those words before? This is something I used to do when I was in schools all the time. And they couldn't. The children would come back saying, man, why did you trick us? What did you mean? I was home and I was trying to, you know, use the word brother, but I couldn't do it. Why? Because saying, man, brother, I'm going to fuck you up, doesn't sound right, doesn't roll off the tongue. Saying, I'm going to fuck the shit out of that sister over there, does not roll well off the tongue. Saying, when that sister comes down the steps, I'm going to beat her goddamn ass, does not roll right coming off the tongue. You can't use that with the same energy. Now, I'm going to fuck that nigga up when I see him. I'm going to kill that motherfucking nigga when I see him around the corner. I'm going to shoot that nigga in the head. I'm going to fuck the shit out of this bitch when she come around the hook. You know, I'm going to slap this bitch up and down the hall. All those things are socially programmed into us. Peace and black power to everybody that's on there. You know, I want, and when I say black power, I'm saying it, you know, with wishful thinking right now, family. So we don't even support our causes anymore because we don't hate, we hate who we are. The black power vacuum is complete. And because we have the black power vacuum, we have, well, you know, I'm wearing my brother's shirt tonight. My brother, this show is dedicated to my brother Joseph Ward out of Florida. Y'all want, you know, we got people trying to, you know, cape for Central Americans to get some to get some justice. Well, go to Joseph Ward's page, my brother Joe Ward, Joseph Ward on Facebook. I'll tag him in the post eventually. And go to ontheshouldersone.com. 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 Grab this book. It's $10. $10 to grab this book, and you can be empowered about Central Americans that everybody's capable to bring over here and find out what their ties are to the African nation and what they and how many of them do, you know, descend from our ancestors. All right. This book right here is short volume, but it's full and packed with information. And if you want, I'll show you the website. The website's on the back of the book, ontheshoulders1.com. On the shoulders, I'm going to hold it steady because my hand is twisted. ontheshoulders1.com. Make sure you shout my brother. I'm going to grab something. See, when I talk about supporting in the Black community, I'm not just talking about me. I'm talking about the people who I bang with. I'm talking about the people who I know is out there doing work. Not these goddamn cats out there that people always, you know what I'm saying, talking about, you know what I'm saying? People are always talking about, you know, you know, I don't want to support your lifestyle. And instead, what fucking lifestyle are you supporting? That you know, that's bougie nigga, you know, bougie Negro. See, I'm trying to get out of saying the word nigga. I'm trying. Niggas won't let me. But bougie Negro gymnastics. You know what I'm saying? Because basically, bougie Negroes are the second biggest pimp of poor Black people. You know what I'm saying? Bougie Negroes always want to talk about stack your paper, this, that, and the other. Well, their clientele is mostly Black. And if you get Black people to empower themselves, now they can't rape you at their goddamn stores. They can't rape you at their hair and beauty stores. They can't rape you at their barbershops where they're charging like $30 for a haircut, which is utterly ridiculous at this time, day and time. You know what I'm saying? Where they can't charge you $300 to get your fucking hair done. You know what I mean? That's the bougie Negro behavior. You know what I'm saying? And none of these bougie Negroes are kicking back to the community that they will call when they get into a crisis. They'll be the ones bitching on Facebook, guess what this cop just did to me? You know what I'm saying? They'll be the ones talking all that crazy shit I can't get support now? Fuck no, you can't get support. You didn't put in on this. You know what I mean? So and I have a whole issue with the bougie genre, rugged individualism that goes on. But their main argument is they're not going to support the lifestyle of so-called Black nationalists or Pan-Africans or whatever you want to call subconscious Negroes. Not support shit. You know, just one more excuse as to why you're not putting in on this. And it's cool. I'm glad they're being exposed. I'm not really trying to deal with them anyway. You know what I'm saying? I was talking to an elder who was a member of the Revolutionary Action Network. And Revolutionary Action Movement. And if you don't know, that movement is straight out of Philly. And one of the things they were talking about, Malcolm X actually was a speaker for that group. A lot of people don't know that. Malcolm X was actually a member of RAN. You know what I'm saying? He had to keep it on the low. Because, there were other members of RAM who were currently, they were on a run. They were on the lam because they were considered, terrorists. And anybody who speak for Black nationalism and you're serious about it, you do get put on that terrorist watch list. You know what I'm saying? So that was even back in the 50s and the 60s. So what she told me was really interesting. She said, the movements of those times, the businesses, the Black businesses were the main sponsors of those movements. And I just see it as so ironic nowadays when the Black movements, when the Black businesses try to distance themselves from any type of revolutionary push or movement. They try to distance themselves from brothers and sisters who, they consider to be too radical. And I'm not just talking about in a public way, but then also in a very private way. But when they get into a jam, is nobody supports Black businesses. Black businesses need to start being accountable for the movements we push. You know, from this day forward, I'm telling all Black businesses, I'm not endorsing any more Black businesses until I see that Black business do work in the community. ATOLAs, they do work in the community. They hire people from the community. You know what I'm saying? They allow people to utilize the restaurant as a platform. I love ATOs. I can't say that about a lot of other Black entities in the city. I can't speak on a lot of other Black entities that allow for those things to happen. You know what I'm saying? So until I start seeing those things, I'm not endorsing them. Clothing companies, things of that nature. That's why I endorse my brother, this Joseph Boyd. You can also get On the Shoulders of Giants t-shirt, you know what I'm saying? Get the OTSOG shirt, you know what I'm saying, go to my brothers on the giant on the shoulders one, because Joseph goes from door to door. This brother's like a door-to-door salesman in the fucking projects trying to save and protect black people. Doing surveys, going out there, protecting them against sexually transmitted diseases, all sorts of things, trying to educate them on just being, you know, decent human beings. You know what I'm saying? His brother's out there in the community, you know, and his brother's like that, and they're struggling, you know, with the whole notion of black love because they're not receiving any. So those are things we need to address, you know what I'm saying? So, you know, I mean, like I said, you know, the young brother Antoine Rose got killed in Pittsburgh. We're too busy caping for other causes to care about the fact that the murders are still happening, that the police are still killing black people, that if this was not caught on camera and put on social media, people wouldn't even be talking about it. They're actually, I'm not gonna watch no video. I'm sorry, I'm done with the watching videos of black people getting killed. I'm over it. But there are videos of the young man actually getting shot in the back while he's trying to run out the car. You know what I'm saying? And I don't wanna hear a whole lot about what was he doing. I don't give a fuck. Whatever he was doing was not punishable by death. These are not street judges. This is not Judge Dredd. We don't live in that world. Well, we do, but we can't allow for that type of shit to happen and to go unpunished. And my biggest issue with stuff in our community is we're perfectly fine with just, you know, making this a coffee table discussion when we're getting killed out here in the streets. Black people dying, black children being miseducated, all these different things. We're perfectly fine with that. As long as it ain't my baby. But when it becomes your baby, and let's be real, yeah, that's a very narrow and short-minded version of it. And look at that particular issue, because it doesn't have to be your baby. When I'm doing my program, you know, to create, you know, water rights stands in the city in Philadelphia to create, you know, so the children can run, operate, and facilitate, they're not only having creating summer jobs for themselves, but they're also running a business and teaching them the morals and the ethics of running business. That's empowering. They don't want to get involved in street bullshit. They don't want to get involved in grudge matches. But also, that child that we reach, that might not be your child. That might be the child that takes your child out of here if that child is not properly hugged up and nobody becomes a judgment to that child. That child might be the one that pulls the gun on you. So when you say stuff like, my baby doesn't do all these things, my children are cool. No, you can't watch your children 24 hours a day. And how about you're outside with your child and somebody rolls up and sprays up the whole front fucking lawn, sprays up the whole porch. And you find out later that there was a child that came to you years before, that you could have built a relationship with, that you could have looked out for, but you turned your back on because fuck that little nigga. That's the stuff I'm talking about. But you'll go across the world to save the fucking whales. You'll be up in the Arctic and shit trying to save the seals. You'll be down in Antarctica trying to save the motherfucking penguins. You'll be out there stopping whalers and shit from killing blue and gray whales. But you won't stop the potential murderer living next door to you when you can approach them and you can raise them up. These children don't grow up wanting to be fucking crooks. But if I'm hungry and my stomach is growling and I don't have access to shit and I don't have nowhere else to go and I offer to carry your bag of groceries to your car and you say, nah, I don't need you today. All right, then. You eating, aren't you? Okay. I might not be there today and meet you tomorrow, but next week, I know you come here at this time. I'll take what I need because I got to survive and nobody out there is providing a way. As black people, we do the worst fucking job in providing a future for our children. And then we blame them for what they become in this macabre ass fucking future, this macabre ass environment that breeds hatred amongst us, that breeds all types of poverty and depression, all the terrible shit you could think of in the world. And we put that weight on our children. We say, go out there and make something of yourself. Oh, half the time, we just shove them out, go the fuck outside, get out of my face. I know children that get put out their fucking houses at like 10 o'clock in the morning, and they ain't even allowed to come back until like 7 o'clock. Maybe on my fucking steps. And I ain't mad that they on my steps. Come sit on my steps, it's safe. How many of you gonna let them sit on your steps? How many of you don't come outside and pour hot water or pour water on your steps so nobody has to sit on your fucking steps? I've seen that shit happen. It happened to me when I was a goddamn child. We can't talk about saving the future when we don't give a fuck about the future. And I'm tired of y'all pump faking. If it doesn't fit, let it fly. We're going to say it doesn't apply, let it fly. But I'm tired of people pump faking. I support you. You don't support shit. You just want to look good on Facebook so people can see you, your name in the like section. You put a heart by some shit. You commented on some shit. My motherfuckers all together, y'all don't support nothing about empowering black people. Like I said, if it applies, there's some people that do. I'm not coming at you people that do. But I'm talking to the ones who don't. I'm talking to the ones who basically do a lot of fronting and pump faking. I don't have time for that shit. And then you know what? I don't have time for you to come afterwards either. After we build this shit up, I don't have time for you to come. We're doing something big with the National Black Liberation Front. We're doing something big with PACs. We're doing something big with the Black Captains. We're doing something big with a lot of different people that are serious about saving and salvaging the Black community. And we're doing it with minimal resources. But we're still getting the fucking job done. People are taking money out of their own pockets. And it's always told, as business investors, that you never invest your own money. We don't have a choice. We don't have a choice. Because the people that don't want to get their hands dirty, they don't even want to toss off or pass some or be monthly contributors to the causes that they're scared to get involved in. So that's cool. We'll tighten our belts while we feed our families and while we provide and we create food. We'll tighten our belts while we have to, you know, rob Peter to pay Paul. We'll do all those things, fam. We'll do all those things. We've been doing it. I've learned that greater men, greater women have died penniless, depending on black people to be their savior. As they've rescued black people time and time again. You called Malcolm X and told him you was in trouble. Malcolm showed the fuck up. And he showed up with 300 fucking people. Malcolm died penniless to the point where his family couldn't even survive off of what he had left. It was something like $200 in his bank account when he died. His house was just burnt the fuck down. And he had a wife and three daughters. Was it four daughters? Three daughters. Everybody walking around with Malcolm X shirts on and Malcolm X quotes and shit. Blasphemy. Asada Shakur was a fighter. Asada Shakur was going on missions, not just with the Panthers, but also with the Black Liberation Army. They did the dirty work. You know what I'm saying? They weren't on this high moral bullshit. They played in the muddy end of the field. They was out there securing the funds so the Black Panthers can feed those children. They were the ones going up, showing up in drug dealers' houses and dumping the drugs into the fucking sewer and taking the money. They were the ones that told Black businesses, listen, you got a tax to pay, a Black tax. You pay the white man tax, you pay the Black tax for us to protect this community and to provide the services we need. Asada was part of that team. So when they tried to assassinate her on that highway in Jersey that day, I ended up dead. And they knew what would happen to Asada if they left her in that prison. They would have killed her. The Black Liberation Army broke into that prison and hid Asada for 2 years in America. No snitches. Nobody told on them. Nobody was, trying to come up. Nah. Until they could provide asylum for her and other Black nationalists in Cuba. You don't, Asada didn't teach you. Asada tried to teach you. But you don't want to do the research and learn. Probably never even read a fucking book. Talking about Asada taught me. Got a lot of people out there doing a lot of fucking fronting and pump faking. A lot of fronting and pump faking, family. Got a lot of people out there who ain't real. and but there'll be the loud mouths, the one out front, this, that, and the other. You know, I'm gonna be honest with y'all, and you know, I'm gonna, you know, I'll probably show one more clip before we call it a night, but I'm gonna be honest with y'all, man. I literally was about to shut this shit down a month ago. I was about to shut the office hours down and stop watching. I was about to shut the shit down a month ago. Because I don't feel as though social media is the place to move black people, to get black people on board. Black people are still big children. So they see social media as something to play with. You know what I'm saying? They see social media as something to joke around, play tag with, you know, do all the flirting that you was afraid to do when you were in the person's presence. So now you feel free to hide behind this mask that you've created on social media, this avatar. I was ready to call David this shit because it's not working. And I'll be the first to admit when something's not working. I'm not perfect. You know what I'm saying? I'll still come with my message strong. But in terms of this day-to-day shit, nah, it's not cool. I need to be more productive. You can't be productive on social media. You can't be productive on Facebook. People ain't ready. You know what I'm saying? I was about to call it a day. You know what I mean? But I was notified that people look forward to some of the things I have to say because I bring a different perspective. See, I play chess in this game, in this war against white supremacy. I play chess all day. But what I'm speaking, even though I play chess, comes from here, from my genuine love for black people. My genuine love for African people. It's not unconditional. Because if you're a goddamn coon, I don't have any love for you. If you lukewarm and you pump fake, my love for you is lukewarm. But if you're sincere about what we need, you know what I'm saying? I'll give you what I got. And that's why I'm still here. But I get more rejuvenated. I get more rejuvenation from walking in the streets. I get more rejuvenation because unlike a lot of these cats, I live in my hood. I live in Erie Ave. I live in North Philly. I walk the streets in North Philly occasionally when I do some walking. Not out there walking all the time, goddammit. But my footprints, my fingerprints are on this community. When I walk outside, the people know who I am and they know what I represent. They know what I bring to the table. They express their love for me. They thank me for saving their children from killing themselves. They thank me for offering opportunities for their children because nobody else in this community will. I asked the children one day, who can you go to outside of me? Because I'm tired and I need a break. They said, well, if we can't come to you, we don't have nobody to turn to. You know how heartbreaking that is? In a community full of black people, for black children to say they don't have nobody to turn to? And to see the look on their face when you have to give them bad news, like I can't do it to y'all. I can't do it for y'all this week. I can't provide for y'all this week. Do you understand that? See, a lot of people ain't in touch with that shit. A lot of cats in their lofty mansions and shit, and black people love the shit out of them. A lot of people sit back, island tropical homes, and black people love the shit out of them. Because somewhere, somehow, you see yourself through them escaping the situation in the hood. I used to live a life similar to that. I moved back to the hood. I came back home. And this is why I'm in knee deep, and I no getting out. I'm not trying to get out. I'm trying to build this up. But there's going to come a time and place when you got to just cut your losses. I'm not trying to be one of those people that propagate this happy face all the motherfucking time. What I'm trying to do is keep it real with you. If you don't support your causes, somebody else will. When you look at the whole Black Lives Matter movement, no matter what you think it started off as, the first Black Lives Matter clips in the first Black Lives Matter pins that they gave out. That was in response to Trayvon Martin getting killed. Now, it took on another energy later on when Mike Brown got killed, but it also took a different energy and direction when you had George Soros and his Media Matters group come in and start sponsoring these movements. You see, now you got in places like Harlem, you got the Church of Scientology trying to sponsor Black movements. You got Jehovah's Witnesses trying to sponsor Black movements. You got fucking Mormons trying to sponsor Black movements. And if you know anything about the motherfucking Mormons, you and being Black, you shouldn't want shit to do with the motherfucking Mormons who call you mud people, say you were made of shit, literally made of feces. You shouldn't want anything to do with a damn Mormon. But that's how far we go from being Black. Like, we'll even accept that shit. As long as I ain't got to be around these niggas all day. I hate this nigga skin that I'm in. I hate these nigga locks that I get. And don't worry, when my hair grows out, my shit do lock up. You know what I mean? Get out of the sun. I don't want to get too Black. We still have color line divisions within our community. We got to be real with a lot of this shit. So, you know what I'm saying? If you friends, you family, support us. If you want us to be full-time on here, I can't live by your words. I can't pay my bills by your words. It ain't begging, fam. I'm just telling you the truth. You want me to be a full-time entrepreneur, this, that, and the other? Well, I got to quit one of the full-time jobs that I have already. I deal with my family. I take care of the Black community. One of those two got to go. Which one do you think is going to pay the penalty for me leaving and going off into a full-time job? Which one? I mean, you know what I'm saying? That's what it is. I'm not one of these high moral Negroes that feel as though all that violent, man, fuck that. We are at war. You fight wars to win. The moral thing in war is to do what's necessary to win. It's not all that other bullshit, that spiritual bullshit. It's not all that handling thing. No, if you got to slit a baby's throat in war, you do that shit. Because they won't hesitate when it comes to slitting your baby's throat. And if this is too hairy for you, then you need not be participating. You need not be involved. Because I'm going to say one more thing, too. I'm glad I'm actually on this. We have a sentiment within our community that wants to be free of white supremacy. A sentiment that wants to be Black empowered. We have a sentiment that wants to be, you know, under its own direction, and its own ability to self-actualize. And that fragment of our community, I'm a part of it. We don't go into other areas in the community and chastise you. So my question to all the integrationists, to all the African Americans who want to, you know, focus and emphasize more so on the American part than the African part, that why the hell do you keep coming into our sacred places and spaces to where we're trying to formulate ideals, to where we're trying to create a code of conduct, to where we're trying to build in terms of our, why do you keep coming into those places and interrupting our vibe when we're trying to vibe on principles of Black empowerment, principles of Black independence, principles of Black nationhood? What in the fuck is your problem with seeing us like that? If you don't want that, then stay in your lane. We don't want you over here. And I can't keep saying this enough. My job ain't to save everybody. I'm not trying to save people who keep pushing the life preserver away, who keep biting my hand when I reach down to pull you up. I'm not doing that. Who never gives anything but always offer critique. Never gives any effort, never contributes an idea, a thought, a moment of their time to anything else that's constructive to what we're trying to build. You are part of the Black Power vacuum. Be gone. Enjoy your life. Enjoy your basketball. Enjoy your football. Enjoy all your festivals and activities. Enjoy all that shit. Have a blast. You won't see me standing in between you and that. I've given up trying to rescue people who don't want to be rescued. That's a, you know, that's a waste of time. I don't have time and energy to waste. It makes no sense. So, family, you know what I'm saying? We need to be on code with this. You know what I'm saying? Stay in your lane. If you don't want Black independence, if you don't want, you know, then that's cool. Stay over there with the people who want to enjoy this integration process. I promise you, those who you're trying to integrate and assimilate with will show you how much they care for you. I promise you. Every generation has felt it. And when they do, and you come running back over here without the resources that made you valuable to us to begin with, keep in mind now, it's at our discretion to let you run. You no longer have any power over that. You made your choice. You made your bed, time to lie in. I don't care if your bed is rock, bumpy, don't give a fuck. It's covered in piss, that's on you. You chose that. And that's why you gotta leave it. So, you know what I'm saying? Let me check out the timeline real quick. Let me check out the timeline. I love you too, Sister Henny. I see my cousin Chuck. Yeah, Chuck, you said, I've been to war. And if it came down to their kids or mine, or not seeing ever seeing mine, their kids didn't stand a chance. Exactly. There's no moral sentiment. Moral sentiment is reserved for cowards who want to articulate their way out of being engaged in the struggle and the fight. You know what I'm saying? Chuck, you said that I set the standard real high. I set the bar real high. It needs to be set high. We can't keep lowballing our children and lowballing the situation around us. And being, you know what I'm saying? If no pun intended, but if a bottle of Henny on the weekends means more to you than put into a program that can empower your children, then, you know, I can't even speak no more on that. Sister Henny said the real sentiment is that you won't be Black. You don't want to be Black for real. Yeah, we do have a lot of people that just don't want to be Black. You know what I'm saying? Brother LaCarlos Bowles, brother, my brother, National Black Liberation Front, Kusu brother. He said that's what we glorify. Just think you speak on something I was talking on earlier, brother. I remember the point, I just can't get it right. I can't think about it right now. Let me go keep going up. Okay. Brother Ishmael, he says social programming. Exactly. You know, we've been dealing with a lot of social programming. My sister Monique Gamble. Mo, what's going on? Sister Mo, part of PAX Inc. You know, make sure you check Mo. Mo also has a radio show. They have a blog show called Tea Time with the Sisters. So y'all better check my sister out. She said divorce the system of white supremacy. Mo, I say that shit all the time. Divorce the system of white supremacy. All the time. Everything they have down that pipe, throw it at door. Man, I am tired of arguing with people about divorcing the system. I'm not arguing with nobody no more. I told people before, I don't celebrate Father's Day. My phone lit up on fucking Sunday. Happy Father's Day. Whatever. Happy Father's Day. God bless you. I don't support none of that stuff. I don't support nothing the enemy gave me because the enemy is not going to give you anything, any tools to take their house down. And I don't care where they got it from. They took it, bastardized it, socially programmed us to function that way. Thank you, Monique, for sharing the website, blackindependence.org. Definitely, family, if you can listen, man, I got family members on this post right now that haven't bought the Independence Day Project. Shame on you. Shame on you for not supporting the Independence Day Project family. Y'all know who y'all are. And Mo put in the code for, that's right, PAX Inc., the code. We have a code of conduct if you go to PAX Inc. We have a code of conduct. And even if you don't agree with it, it's a starting point. We need to get on code, family. We need to get on code. And that's right, man. Support my brother Joseph Ward, man. Support my brother Joseph Ward, my brother Ajay Tayemba, you know, the blueprint, the BSU blueprint. You know what I'm saying? Support that, brother. Support the brother. Listen, man, if you ain't buying their books, who the fuck is? And then you'll get mad when the white man comes in and offers a boatload of cash and somebody takes it, you'll call them a sellout. No, the real sellouts is what made that opportunity available for somebody to be bought off. Those are the real sellouts. The real sellouts are the ones who had first dibs on the opportunity to create an empowered situation. And you left a gap in the room, you know, you left a gap around the boat, and, you know, somebody swooped in and dragged it and grabbed it. You know what I'm saying? It's just like if you marry and you ain't doing all your, you know, husband or wifely duties, and they say they get it from somewhere else. Oh, well, you know what I mean? You was warned. You know what I'm saying? I want to get a little freaky in the bedroom. You don't want to? Listen, this ain't going to work. Please. No, fuck out of here. You use the sex as a weapon? Okay, bet. All right, I'll get it somewhere else. Now sex is off the table. We don't have to talk about sex no more. You know what I mean? I'm joking. Sister Angel Proctor said we need to start our own adoption agency or foster homes that can get our kids. I agree. But let me tell you, we have black people in our community right now who don't see the issues that we bring up as a problem of theirs. Our community is surrounded by people who believe that they themselves are insulated from all the problems that we have. That is one of the biggest problems we have as a community. We feel as though we're insulated from all the problems that we have. In other words, we feel like we're watching the black experience on TV. Like we can turn it on and turn it off whenever we want to. We feel that way. So we're not even trying to see the relevance of the fact that these issues are ours. You know, I've been ignoring my YouTube audience. Let me see if the YouTube family has been in here speaking, if anybody's been saying anything. All right, I see Joe, KC, Freedom Trade Network, State of the Black Parent Conference. Sean Ness, what's going on, family? Let me see. On the shoulders of Johnny said, what's up, my brother? He had a lot of issues, but that were not good, but he didn't deserve to get killed. I think he was talking about Triple X Tenaction. Yo, I'm telling you, I've never heard of the brother until he got killed, because I'm not into the whole hip-hop genre and all that other stuff. I'm just not into it. Not the way it is today. You know what I mean? Wow. Hold on. Let me unshare. I never got back to unsharing the screen unsharing the screen. So everybody's been pretty much just listening to me on YouTube, I think. Let me see. All right, no, that's good. It's good. So, you know, I'm about to check out. I was going to show more clips, but we don't have a lot of viewers tonight, and that's all good. You know what I'm saying? But y'all got to see the beginning of the Independence Day Project. You know, I don't know what this shit is. I think I had fast-forwarded the video because I had it on a private link on an unlisted link on YouTube just to help share with people. But, you know, we're about to check out, family. But, you know, I just wanted to thank everybody for tuning in. I do appreciate the support of people who do support. You know what I'm saying? I do recognize that the numbers are very small, but you're very consistent. I want to thank you all for doing that. I know I don't get a chance to do it often. And if you see my Facebook post, sometimes people will trigger a negative response. And I'm just not going to be on Facebook. I promise you that. If you see me on Facebook, it'll only be to share other people's work or to, you know, promote something I'm doing. Oh, if you're in Philadelphia, we're going to have a movie screening on June 30th. There's going to be a family day at the Philadelphia North Philly Peace Park at 22nd and Thompson. You know, 22nd and Thompson. We're going to be down there, and we're going to have a screening Saturday night, 30th Saturday night. We're going to have a screening for the Independence Day Project. Probably starting around 8 o'clock, 8 o'clock or so. And we're going to be putting the film out, and I'll give you more details as we get closer to the date. You know, but like I said, thank you all for tuning in and sharing. Brother has to go. I'm determining it's not whether I'm going to go to the gym or something. I got to do something to, to deal with this anxiety that I have, because the community itself is not a good feel right now. It's not a good look. We're abandoning our posts. You know, we're not taking up arms in the place, in the right places. And we have a lot of game, a lot of blaming going on within the community. And we're not really looking at, you know, what's happening to the community. You know, our level of consciousness, there is no Black conscious community right now. There is no Black conscious community. There's a pseudo community, but it's not Black and conscious. It's basically, you know, pseudo scholarship. Nobody's doing any research. It's a whole lot of, I feel this way, therefore it's a fact. You know, it's not factually based, it's not historically based, it's emotionally based. And you know what I always say about emotions, if you're driven by emotion, it's just like the weather, it can change on you anytime. You know, if you're driven by passion, you know what I'm saying, passion will drive you through the storm. So let's drive a push towards, you know, through passion. I appreciate the, you know, somebody did buy a copy today, the Independence Day Project, so I appreciate that. Oh, and I want to shout out my brother Preston White for making a generous donation to the summer programs we're trying to put together for the, you know, as part of our What About Us collaborative that we do in the community. So, you know, we're still planning to have the book reading initiative, but that shit doesn't come out of thin air, fam. If you pay the children to read, where do you, you know, that money needs to come through. So we're not asking to donate, we'll ask you to buy the products that we have on deck. You know, we do have a copy. We have copies of the Independence Day Project. We have shirts that are coming. We also, you know, like I said, you know, support the family, you know what I mean? So, you know, we got that. We got the water right stand that we're going to put together. And, you know, it's these initiatives that we're putting together and that we're working with, man. And I want to thank people who are actually involved in trying to make that happen, because they recognize the need and the necessity to get things and to get it done, because our babies deserve better. They deserve better than us right now. We're not doing the job. Some of us are, but collectively, we are doing a horrible job at putting our children in a place to win. And then we're crying crocodile tears when we start to, you know, receive the losses. There was a young brother that got killed. He just graduated from high school. He was sitting in a car, and apparently, you know, there was some issues between the blocks or whatever, and somebody rolled up and shot that brother in the head while he was sitting in the car. You know, 17 years old, gone. Three college scholarships, potential, out the window. We got to do better, fam. Because it ain't about reaching that brother that was on his way to college. It's about reaching the ones that decide to pull the trigger to take him out of here. That's what it's about. So if you're not going to get involved in on that level, then you might as well just, you know, hush up and let the people who's ready to get the work done do the work. You know what I'm saying? And with that, family, you know, we're going to roll out of here because it's getting late, especially on the East Coast. You know, but I thank you all for tuning in. You know, and don't forget, man, listen, I'll be out of Juneteenth this weekend in Philly, Juneteenth celebration on Market Street. I'll be out there with WRD, and I also have copies of the Independence Day Project on deck. Make sure you come see a brother if you're in the area. You know what I'm saying? Also, my birthday, so I'm not sure how long I'm going to be out there. I want to spend some time with my family, the ones who actually show love consistently. So with that said, family, Wakusu, wake up, clean up, stand up, peace and Black power. We will win. I'm just not sure how many people are going to cross the finish line with us. Peace, family.